Thank you, Kevin. I love you too, and I... I'm kidding. I like you too, Kevin. Thank you for that. I'm so a little jittery before this that I pre-set up a bottle of water and grabbed another one to open it. So I'll ask your forgiveness for me this morning. I don't feel like I should be up here. I feel very humble to be standing before each one of you. I have recently struggled spiritually with some things, with myself. Kevin said that I was a good husband. I could tell you that recently I've probably said some things that would not make me a good husband or a good father. So, here I am standing before you, getting ready to preach the Word of God. This is not me telling you what you should do. Rather, this is the Word of God. The Word of God. So, I've asked this question probably once or twice in my short time as being a minister, but I'm going to ask you again, honest question. Why are you here today? So, we kind of get in a routine. This isn't in my comments, but I want to bring this up. We get in a routine. We come here every Sunday. We listen to a preaching service. We go home. We come back for a service in the evening sometimes. Sometimes we come to Wednesday night service. We're kind of getting this habit, this routine, blah, 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 blah. But why are you here today? I'm here today not to prop myself up, not because I think I'm worthy. I could barely look at you guys in the eyes because I know of my profound weakness. I'm not paid to be up here by any means. I'm on God's time and my time. So why are you here? Are you here because it's habit? Or are you here because you want to hear the Word of God? Because I got a clue for you. I am going to preach the Word of God today. Is that important to you? Is the Word of God important to you? Seems like a simple answer. But let's remember that as we keep going. So I want to start today. If you have your scriptures, follow along. I'm not going to call on anybody. I'm not going to have anybody read. I want to start today in John chapter 14. We're going to pick up in the middle of a story. Here's Christ. The Last Supper is finished. Christ has given the example of him washing the feet of his disciples. He's revealed, even though they didn't pick up on it, all of them, he revealed that Judas Iscariot is the one who would betray him and sends him away to do what is needed to be done. He's in the last free hours, not three, the last free hours of his life before he's taken captive. Christ says that he's about to go away. So let's go to John 14. We're going to pick this up in verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. This is Christ talking in this scenario that I set up. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, and the way, and whether I go, excuse me, and whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." He's telling them he's going to go prepare a place for him. And you know the way. You know where he's going. So, verse chapter 14. We're going to start. Here is Apostle Thomas in the presence of Christ, listening to this. And what does he ask him? What does the apostle ask him? Christ just said, "Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." So I can just imagine the Apostle Thomas standing there looking at him, kind of perplexed. And he says, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" The apostle who spent years ministering with Christ is asking Christ, "How do we know the way to where you're going to go? How do we know the way?" Christ told him that he's going to go prepare this mansion, this dwelling or abode, and that he's going to come to receive him. And I think, genuinely, this was an honest, genuine question. How does Christ answer? Christ answered Thomas with a very simple yet profound statement. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I asked you why you're here. I asked you if you wanted to hear the word of God preached. This is not my words. This is not some book that I found that is offering some commentary on the scriptures. This is the words of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man goes to the Father but through Christ. Do you believe that? The words of Jesus Christ. What a simple truth. A simple and profound statement, which brings me to the title of my sermon, A Simple Truth. I forgot to welcome everyone who's watching online. Hopefully these slides are coming through okay. If not, I'll make sure and read the scriptures out loud as well. But for all those that are listening here today, those that are listening online, and anyone who might be joining us and listening to this in a future time, I want to stand here and proclaim something to you, confess something to you, acknowledge something to you. I know that one day, the scriptures tell us, and I think we all believe, that we each will stand before the Lord and be judged by our works, for our works. I also know that I will one day stand before the Lord and be judged for every word that I say behind this pulpit. Every single word that I say, I will be judged on. So, I proclaim to you today that Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, when you start to think about it, it's an absolutely amazing and comforting and liberating conviction. This concept of Jesus Christ being this truth, the simple truth, is a foundational statement. Right? It's a foundational statement. If you don't believe that Christ is the way, if you don't believe that Christ is the truth and the life, you are not on that solid foundation. It is a foundational statement, a statement on which our entire practice of religion is built. The entire thing. All of our hopes, all of our principles, all of our priorities, everything, the very paradigm of our existence, all rest on this one statement that Christ is the way, that Christ is the truth, that Christ is the life. One simple truth. One simple truth. Christ says he's the way. Well, according to Strong's, if you look this up, there's the word. If it's displaying right, you'll see it. Anyone who's in my Sunday school class knows I'm terrible at pronunciations of these types of words, so I could say what I think it says, but I don't know. This is Strong's, means a road, or by implication of progress, the route, act, or distance, or figuratively a mode or means, a journey. Vine's complete expository dictionary says that metaphorically the way means of a course of conduct, a way of thinking. For example, righteousness, or in other words, the way, instructed and approved by God. Jesus Christ is telling us and pointing to himself as the road. Christ is saying he is the route and the means by which we complete our spiritual journey. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the way. The way instructed and approved by God. as it says there in vines? Is Christ our course of conduct? Is Jesus Christ our way of thinking? Is Jesus Christ the path, the journey, the mode and means by which we live our lives? Jesus Christ is the way. Christ says that he is truth. I'm not going to pronounce that word. Strong's, if you look it up, what does it say? It says truth. Truth means truth. Now, that's a little funny to me, that truth means truth, but it also has a bit of an implication there. If I was to look this up in Vines, Vine says truth is used objectively signifying the reality lying at the basis of an appearance, the manifested, veritable essence of a matter. Christ is the ultimate truth. Through all of our perceptions, through all of our suppositions, through all of our opinions, through everything, there is, no matter through our entire experience of reality, there is only one supreme truth, that is Jesus Christ. No matter what, Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. I wanted to do an experiment. I'm going to take this and walk because this will be easier to show you. It wasn't really going to come out well for a big room, but I wanted to take a 2-liter bottle, okay, an empty 2-liter bottle, and here's the 2-liter bottle right here. If you cut off the top where it tapers up to where you would pour it out, let's say you cut it right off at the where it started the taper. You take it and you turn it over and you set it inside. It fits nice and snug. And then you can fill the top with rocks or sand or cotton balls. You can layer it however you want. And then you could take a container of dirty water. And you could take that water and pour it into that makeshift filter. And however long it takes to run through it, when it comes out the other side, you would see clean water. Jesus Christ is the truth. Whatever opinions or suppositions, perceptions, like I said earlier, whatever is out there, whatever is out there in the world, when we filter it through Jesus Christ, it becomes pure. Jesus, the ultimate truth, that clean water through that filter is Jesus Christ. No matter what you hear, no matter what people tell you, no matter how hard it is, no matter what you're confronted with, no matter what people say to you, no matter, Jesus Christ is the truth. This is from Richard's Complete Bible Dictionary. It says, the essential thought in both testaments is that the truth is utterly reliable because it is in accord with reality. Are there things that could smash our reality, things that push against our reality as believers in Jesus Christ? By contrast, the false is unreliable because it distorts reality. Those who serve Christ describe reality. Those who respond to the gospel obey the truth. Scripture's revelation of reality strips away all our illusions and shows us the values, attitudes, and the way of life that are of ultimate value. Jesus Christ is the ultimate truth. Obedience to Jesus Christ is the ultimate value. It is the only way. This is our lives. Jesus Christ is the simple truth. There is no other way. Not my words. Jesus Christ says he's the life. If you'll turn with me to John 8, I'll just keep your finger in there. Strong's, it means life, literally or figuratively. Matthew Henry says, Christ is the life, for we are alive unto God, only in and through Jesus Christ. Christ is the resurrection and the life. Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 8:12. Keep your fingers here in John 8. We're going to come back to that. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me, sorry, it says followers, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ says he is life, the essence of life. Christ is the purpose of life. Christ is the only way to eternal life. Our life now, our life eternal, Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Christ is the ultimate truth. Jesus Christ is the meaning of life. Jesus Christ, a simple truth. Keep your fingers there. I promise that we're going to come back. I want to switch now to 2 Nephi 12. I'm not going to put all the scriptures up here. I'm going to read this from the book, but I am going to put a couple different ones as we go through. So I'm going to go to 2 Nephi chapter 12, and I want to be very clear about something. The simple truth of Jesus Christ is certain. The simple truth about Jesus Christ is certain. It is not opinion. It is not ambiguous. Although, most certainly, it will not always be accepted. 2 Nephi, chapter 12, verse 20. I'm going to start in verse 20. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth. And in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. Or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls, and lead them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away, and tell them that there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears, until he grasps them with his awful chains, from which there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell, and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, for whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease at Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all they that tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. You can go ahead and continue reading on. That thought continues, but I'm going to stop there. I put four verses up there. The simple truth of Jesus Christ is certain. It is not opinion. It is not ambiguous. And it will almost certainly not be accepted. Does this not sound familiar today? Does it? For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. I think you guys would probably agree with me. It sounds about right. I see some pretty crazy stuff. Okay. And in fine, woe unto all they that tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. The truth of God will not always be accepted, but it is our choice to accept it. Do you accept the truth of God? Do you agree with it? You are facing and will face this opposition to the truth. It's not fun. It's hard. It's hard to tell people that this is the truth. And all you're doing is just repeating the words of Christ or the scriptures like I'm reading to you. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. You are faced with heavy opposition to the truth from those in attitudes that we just read in this section, which is why I read it. So do you believe in the truth? If you believe in the truth, are you prepared to stand up for and to exercise and to demonstrate the truth? Simple truth. Christ faced the same opposition in his time. This is where we're going to go back here. Christ knew and was very aware that it would not be accepted. In fact, as we know, he paid the ultimate price for that truth. Let's go back to John 8, if you would, real quick. John 8. This is Christ, the story. We're picking up another story here in John 8. This is Christ. He's in the middle of teaching, and he had just sent away the woman who was caught in adultery and confronted by the Pharisees. That just happened, so he's confronted by the Pharisees. He's in the middle of teaching his followers, a group of people, and he tells those who he was teaching what we read in verse 12, and I'll read it again if you're there. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Christ proceeds a back and forth. He proceeds a back and forth here with the Pharisees, and these verses touch. And when you read it, you'll see they speak to the Pharisees' inability to recognize or validate or accept the truth. They won't do it. Christ tells them in verse 31, he says, Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Christ is telling them plainly the simple truth. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Our freedom from the bondage of sin is taken through Christ, through our belief in Christ, through our exercise of our faith, through repentance, the way to freedom. I'm going to read verse 31 through 38. I put 36 up there. This is John chapter 8. We're going to pick up 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." It's out there. It's out there for us. This freedom is out there for us. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father." Christ is standing before them. Here's the Pharisees, unable to see the truth that is standing right before them. And Christ tells them he is speaking what he has seen with his Father, with the Lord. And all they're doing themselves is continuing what they had seen with their fathers in the wrong way. Verse 43, Christ asked them, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And because I tell you the truth," this is verse 45, "you believe me not." Verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." The truth of Jesus Christ is certain. I'll say it again, I'm sorry, it is not opinion. It is not ambiguous. It's not up for debate. So, Christ says, "He that is of God heareth God's words." Are you of God? Are you of God? Do you hear God's words? What does it look like in your life? I think we read in James, it tells us not to be hearers of the word only, but doers. Are you doing it? We recognize that Jesus Christ is truth. I think if I went around and asked everyone in this room, they would agree. Jesus Christ is truth. I think on just off the top of your head, you would agree with it without even thinking about it. So, what is the ultimate importance of this truth, however? Well, truth is actionable. Truth is actionable. We are able to act on truth. We are able to follow truth. We're able to be partakers. We're able to be promoters and examples of truth. I stand before you again testifying today that this is truth. The path we must follow has been laid out before us, and we cannot waver. No matter what attitudes are presented in front of you, no matter what hardships and challenges may arise, no matter what you may hear anywhere else, Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth, and He is the life. Jesus Christ. Now, what can we do about that? Mark chapter 12, just four verses. Mark chapter 12, and I'll put them up there on the screen if you don't have your thing. Mark chapter 12. A simple truth produces a simple question. Before I display that up there, a simple truth produces a simple question. If His words are true, are they important enough for you to follow? Mark 12, 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." The words of Jesus Christ. We recognize that Christ is the truth. Christ is telling us these are the two great commandments. A simple question for a simple truth. Examine yourselves today, including myself. Examine yourselves personally today. You believe in truth. Do you have a sincere desire in your heart every day to follow these commandments? If Christ is the ultimate truth, and Christ gave us these two great commandments, are they the ultimate priority of your heart? Let's go back to 2 Nephi, chapter 13. We are given Christ's doctrine repeatedly in Scripture. Doctrine, let's see if someone's here, if he's here or not. Axton, what does doctrine mean? Teaching, exactly. Doctrine means teaching. We are given Christ's doctrine repeatedly in Scripture. We are given Christ's teaching repeatedly in Scripture. We are told in 2 Nephi, we're going to read the Scripture 24 through 32. We are told that it says, "For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son." I'm going to stop right there. If you go to 3 Nephi chapter 5, you can put this down in your notes. If you go to 3 Nephi chapter 5, Christ gives us his doctrine, plain and simple, the truth of Jesus Christ. his doctrine, his teaching. And he says that those that have the spirit of the contention is not of him, but is of the devil. And he goes on and says that whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's 3 Nephi chapter 5, that's 29 through 35. I'm going to continue. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, verse 26, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. And there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, in the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. This is the doctrine of Christ. This is the teaching of Christ. This is the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, no matter what. Press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Told about the gate which we should enter. Repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. Puts us in that straight and narrow path, given the Holy Ghost as a gift, as a comforter, as a guide, the words of Christ again. You have a responsibility. We have a responsibility for our spiritual lives, but the choice is yours. For those of you that have made this commitment, the rest of this that I'm about to read is applicable to you. For those who haven't, it's up to you to believe and exercise your belief and accept truth. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. An answer to the question of the hope that lies within me. My hope is in Jesus Christ, that he is the way and the truth and the life. That is my hope. So, wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. Our brother Steve McGee once said in a sermon something that will always stick with me. When he talked about enduring to the end, the word, the meaning of the word, looking up that word means abide. Abide with Jesus Christ. Don't move away from that truth. Jesus Christ is a simple yet profound truth in our lives. Do not move off that foundation. There is no other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. I thank you for your time.